My initial reaction is that the GEM has been frustrated by the fact that Khartoum has been talking to other rebel factions, and it is now trying to put pressure on the government to deal more seriously with them.
Is there any particular reason why GEM decided to make it official today that it was not going forward with the process?
Well, the talks have been stalled in large part because most of the people were focused on the elections, and I think that there was some perception that once the elections were completed, there would be further movement along the talks. But that hasn't happened, and so I think that's one of the reasons why the GEM has pulled out.
Now, why would GEM think that they would have a better chance at a peace deal after the elections, considering the controversy around the elections that they were allegedly rigged and allegedly unfair?
Well, our understanding is that once the GEM had entered into this framework agreement in February, that everyone recognized that very little would be completed until the elections were finished, and that once the elections were completed, that again there would be a resumption of the negotiations. The problem to some degree is that the GEM wants to present itself as the umbrella group that represents all the Darfurian rebels, but there is another fairly large group that has emerged lately that is also in talks with the government that now seems to have the upper hand.
How powerful is the other rebel group?
Well, the other rebel group called the Sudan Liberation and Justice Movement is essentially an umbrella group for most of the four rebels in Darfur. And if, in fact, they are able to keep themselves unified, they present a fairly significant force, especially in light of the fact that Chad and Khartoum entered into an agreement in which they agreed not to support each other's rebel groups. And for Chad, that meant principally the GEM. I think what people have to recognize is that, at least for the GEM, the agreement between Deby and Bashir early this year that essentially compelled both sides to withhold support from their respective proxies in either Chad or in Darfur has put a lot of pressure on the GEM militarily, because Chad was by far its most significant supporter. So GEM is actually in a fairly difficult negotiating position, especially if it looks like the four are, you know, developing their own political agenda, and GEM can no longer credibly claim to be the most powerful Darfuri group operating there.
What is the relationship between GEM and the coalition of the other rebel groups?
Well, the relationship is actually not that good. GEM largely receives support from a tribe called the Zagawa in northern Darfur, whereas the Sudanese Liberation and Justice Movement is largely comprised of another ethnic group, Darfur. And so they have been competing for attention and also to some degree for the spoils of any peace deal that would be signed between the Darfurian rebels and the government.
What spoils would that be? If an agreement is reached between any of these rebel groups and the government, what might they get out of it?
Well, in the past, normally what happens is that there's an agreement to stop fighting and to have the two groups retain control of their respective territories. But most importantly, for the leadership, generally the leaders are given senior positions within the government in Khartoum that they can, of course, use for their own personal advantage.
Now, South Sudan has officials in a unity government. Has it really worked to their advantage?
Well, that really depends on your perspective. The first point is that South Sudan's participation in the government of national unity is much more extensive than it has been for the other rebel groups in Sudan. That said, most of the people who have entered the government from rebel factions have been frustrated by the fact that they have very little power relative to their NCP counterparts. So, for example, the most obvious case is Mini Menawi, who was or still is a Darfuri rebel leader who was made a senior presidential advisor to Bashir, but although the title sounds relatively powerful, has really meant very little on the ground in Khartoum.
How important is it to President Bashir to settle the conflict in Darfur prior to the 2011 referendum in the south to secede?
Well, that to some degree depends on what you think Bashir would like to do. Obviously, it is in Bashir's interest to try to settle these conflicts, especially if he fears that the SPLM or the South may try to use Darfuri opposition to put pressure on his government. But it's unclear, really, what his thinking is.